This is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Welcome to Don't Drink the Paint Water. This is Lisa. I'm really excited, you guys. Today I have my good friend Kat as my guest. Kat, it's good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I look forward to talking to you.
It's going to be great. So a little bit about Kat. Kat Rigdon is a multidisciplinary artist based here in Dallas, Texas. She grew up in the island of Cyprus. She's really influenced by the folk art and just culture and history that she grew up around. She worked as a... what is exactly? You were a specialist, a cataloger for auctions?
I was a cataloger and a junior specialist and like a what have you girl at Heritage Auction.
That's so awesome. Well, you guys, when you look at her art, you will see that influence. She is a lot of historical items come out in her colorful, very colorful oil paintings and beadwork and all of these just repeated ideas that express a certain point of view that I think is very charming. Kat, it's good to have you.
Thank you so much.
And also, if you ever get to hang out with her, she's the most fun at a party ever. So go see some art with Kat Rigdon. I highly encourage it. But
depends on the day.
And this is true. I bet that's everybody. You know, we all have our good days and our bad days. So speaking of, we were just talking about coffee. I love to ask, what do you usually have in your cup? I personally know what's usually in your cup, but the audience would love to know. What is your beverage of choice while making art?
While making art, it's really light beer. Cans and cans and cans of it.
From the brewery next door.
That's after a certain part in the day. But I usually start the day with a coffee, a breve latte, so I get my brain going with all the fat and the caffeine. But I'm such a tea girl too.
You have the best tea though.
I have the best tea. I'm such a tea snob. It has to be from Fortnum and Mason in London. I'm such an incredible snob.
I have to say, I've had favorite teas, but they definitely taste more like water now after enjoying some of the tea you've shared with me. It was amazing.
I'm so glad we could just share a couple of tea every blue moon, and hopefully many, many more.
Many more. Need to have another little tea outing. I love it.
Yes.
So tell everyone, what are you working on and what are you just finishing up? Like, are you starting a new body of work? Or are you in the middle of something?
I'm kind of I was a little burnt out this fall and I took a break to focus on drawing and really hone in on my practice with graphite, and that's kind of just taken over.
Nice.
Where I'm using graphite in all of my surfaces. So I've just finished a couple of pieces on paper, so kind of like amphoras, craters, with intricate graphite drawings on them, and they're rather comical. Now I'm moving on to working back on my acrylic panels again. I used CNC drilled panels on acrylic, and I'm oil paint on top of that, and now I'm going back over those oil paintings and adding the graphite drawings. So both a drawing and a painting.
I haven't seen this yet. I'm so excited.
I know it's very exciting. It will probably be later in the year when they debut.
That makes sense. You've got a good body of work that you just released. Actually, something I would normally ask is, do you have any work out there for people to see? And I can personally vouch for, there's an amazing show currently at RO2 Gallery. I definitely say go see it. She's got some beautiful small and large oil paintings on her acrylic forms. Great show, by the way, Kat. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm tickled with it. My favorite piece in that show is the herd of bulls.
Yeah.
I have the ancient Cypriot bulls with goober eyes.
The goober eyes.
They're very funny.
And they're bright pink, you guys. They are fabulous.
Exactly.
And they have some kind of, what color is on the back that makes them glow so well?
I use a chartreuse
It's fantastic.
I use acrylic paint for the backing color, and I've been into chartreuse green for the backing. It gets a little glow, a little je ne sais quoi.
It's so wonderful. They have some mystery. It's like, well, there's something magical going on with this painting. I thought it was just a bowl, but it is much more than that. No bowl.
A bright pink bowl.
A bright pink.
Bowls on parade.
They're so fabulous. I love them. I love it. Okay, if you could go back in time and give your younger self a tip or trick, what would you recommend?
Oh, gosh. Just continue. That's, like, I don't, let me think about that for a second.
That's fine.
but each of our experiences shape us in particular ways. So I don't think I would tell my younger self to do anything different because I wouldn't know that reality anyways. So I think I'm pretty happy with what young Kat did to create future Kat and the amount of trauma, et cetera, that young Kat went through.
Because
it makes a very flavorful adult Kat.
Yeah, very flavorful. I like this adult Kat. I agree. Don't you? I would not have advised a younger you to do anything differently except for continue on.
Yeah.
As something I would
maybe
tell myself to.
Save receipts.
You know, the practical, learn how to do your taxes before you get really embedded into a system.
Yeah. I struggle with that. Yeah.
I think the practical things, that's what I definitely would have told myself earlier, is learn, take a business class. Business class, or go learn from somebody who knows business before you jump into anything. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And stop being so afraid of the business side of things.
Yeah. It's not as scary as it sounds.
It's not. It's just actually having to, sit down and listen.
Yeah, it is.
Because the more knowledge, the less anxiety.
Yeah, and it's just because it's boring doesn't mean it's not wonderful information.
It's just kind of scary information because all of a sudden, oh, you're doing your taxes.
Uh-huh.
And what if you do your taxes wrong?
Yeah. Or what if you didn't actually keep track of something and so you're missing out on a big chunk of money? It's like, dang.
Yeah.
I don't have you tried this? Someone gave me the advice, take a picture of your receipts. So then you can go back through later on and find all the pictures. I once tried to put them into a file. I don't have time for that. That's ridiculous. But
yeah,
they're there. And so if I need them, I can go back and look for them.
One tool that I use, I haven't been doing consistently, and that was one of my resolutions for the year. I'm still not doing consistently, but I use Artwork Archive, which is an online software. It's a paid subscription.
I'm so glad you told me about that.
I've tell everyone about this.
It's magical.
I probably should contact them to be their spokesperson.
You should.
It's magical.
It really is. And I love it.
So, they have this, the program also provides an area where you can log all of your art expenses, your rent, your supplies, your shipping, and it also keeps track of your sales, and it helps you keep track of your sales taxes, which is pretty, pretty awesome.
It is. And once you get it set up,
it helps you archive.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Once you get it set up, it's so much easier to plug things in because it's already set up. Yeah.
And then quickly send spreadsheets and inventory reports. Highly recommend any of y'all who want to become or take yourself more seriously in the art world to look at artworkarchive.com.
I totally agree with that. I second that. And I've only known about it for about 2 months, and Kat was the one who showed me it. So y'all listen to Kat. She has good advice.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Pretty much all the time. What is your favorite item in your studio? It could be practical or just fun.
I've been thinking about this long and hard. Mm. I have three favorite items. Can I share all three?
Yes, please.
Okay, number one, my X-Acto knife.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, such a good tool.
Which kind do you have?
I have off-brand and on-brand.
Mm-hmm.
I have like four of them. I keep each one in a different location so I don't freak out.
Oh.
And never have a blade.
That's actually a really good tip.
Yeah. And I buy my blades in bulk.
Mm, yes.
I'll get like a pack of like 100.
You've got
so
to.
So I never have to worry.
Yeah. They go bad so fast.
They do. And, oh yeah, that's like a safety tip actually. It's like, how do you dispose of your blades?
Mm-hmm. Yes. How do you dispose of your blades?
I don't want to kill anyone, so I wrap up the blade in a couple of layers of tape before I dispose of them.
Very smart.
In the trash. Which, I don't know if that's, like, the best way to do it, but I know I'm not slicing anyone open.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves. I remember in undergrad, someone broke one of their glass jars, and they just put it in the trash can, and I chewed them out, because my brother one time cut himself from something that was in the trash can, so I know not to do that. And so I was like, there's a perfectly good box right there that says sharps. You put the sharp items in there, and that's what you're supposed to do. So I totally agree with that. It's don't hurt, like, especially people who are doing the chores for us, even if it's yourself, treat them right. You don't want to cut them.
Yeah. And like, also like for like the trash men, like we have to look after them too. They're looking after us.
Exactly.
So
and they have to deal with those things. So yeah, I
wrap
agree.
Your blades. Wrap your blades.
Or have a sharp box. That's I've done that. I've got a little container that I keep my sharps in, and when it gets full, I put the lid on and it is contained.
It is contained.
The sharps.
Bravo. Second favorite tool is my Leatherman knife.
Ah. My producer is shaking his head. You've hit a good tip.
My printmaking professor in college, Jeffrey Dell, he recommended to all of us that we purchase a Leatherman knife. And that's what I asked for Christmas that year. And then it was promptly stolen from the studio.
That's so dramatic.
It was so dramatic. It was beautiful. It was like the matte black one. It was a super, super cool one. At that time, it was probably like 2010, 2011 when this happened.
Oh, my God.
So after that, at this time, I was living in San Marcos. In San Marcos, Texas, not San Marcos, California. there's the difference. I went
miles.
To the airport surplus store
smart.
In Austin, where all of the knives that don't make it through the TSA check line end up.
Uh-huh.
So I purchased a new one there. I purchased two so I would have a backup.
That's really smart. That's a good tip.
That's a general thing about me is I purchase things in multiples, so there's always a backup.
Yeah, so
my anxiety is less.
Having four X-Acto knives, two Leathermans, not one, because then you won't be able to find it. This is like the hammer, when you can't find your hammer and you need a hammer.
Well, I think that there's a little handy blade for that, too, like the hammer multi-tool knife thing. I haven't done one of those because I don't use a hammer very often.
Mm.
I like just the plain Leatherman, one for like the studio, and then there's one for like that I keep on my body for like mushroom foraging and just general life.
Yes, things. Yes. Being a slightly feral, creative human.
Yes. Which moves me on to my last object, which was given to me by an old coworker who saw that I was having a bad day. He printed out a picture of Jack Nicholson in his elderly state, and he put it around a thing of like gray packing foam and saran wrapped it.
That's fabulous.
I call it Steve.
Steve.
And Steve looks after me in the studio. He glares down upon me and
lets
me know
Steve.
That I'm not alone.
I'm looking for Steve next time I'm there.
Yes, please. I should probably just send you a picture.
I would love a picture.
So everyone can see what Steve looks like.
Everyone needs to see who Steve is. This is great.
Thank you, old coworker Ricky.
It's the thing that cheers you up every time.
Exactly. I think you'll be tickled because I haven't worked there in years and years and years, but I still have this item and it still brings me huge amounts of joy.
No, I understand that sometimes it's a random thing that is held on to that is the most fun.
Exactly.
It's the best item ever. I have
What is yours? So, like, you've heard mine. What is yours?
I've talked about in the past, like, I've got a little, you remember how I'd have items on a little tray, like it's a little shrine on the shelf
in
my studio. So that's the one I've talked about in the past, but something I haven't talked about, and it wasn't in my studio at the Cedars. It was in my studio in grad school, something my husband made. So it was an old paper towel roll, and it said, put something here, and an arrow, and it was on a string. And it was his way of saying, like, just, you know, put the ideas in there or put the BS in there or this is conceptual art. It was supposed to represent all of the problems and ideas into this one mundane object that is glorified on my wall now. I love it. It's really...
That's so sweet.
It's that,
good
it's,
job, Ben.
I know. He did such a good job. It's awesome. And his handwriting is fabulous. So I always like looking at it. And I do actually mentally put stuff there. I'm like, yeah, screw this. It goes there. It's like, look at it and laugh. I'm like, this is what conceptual art really is. Who cares?
But... And your husband did it.
And he always has the best ideas, so.
Yeah.
Sounds good. One of these days I'll have him on here instead of just recording things.
Down the line.
Yeah. Thank you, TogiNet, for... making my podcast sound awesome and giving Ben an awesome job. Okay, I have a couple questions from the listeners. So finally, thank you guys for writing me and telling me your questions. They're pretty awesome. I thought these were kind of ironic how time-wise they landed with you, Kat, because they're about studio. And I know you're just going through studio changes, so it's appropriate. It's great. First question, what would your ideal studio look like? Ideal. I liked that word.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think we ever get that possibility, except for this last opportunity we had was ideal.
That was so ideal. Just a little side note, we were both part of the Cedars Union in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And we had micro studios, and they were amazing.
Amazing.
And... amazing. And now I am in a different situation where this is not my ideal studio. Definitely not my ideal studio, but it's here. It's mm-hmm. cheap. It's a big, big warehouse with no heating, no air conditioning, no running water. Mm-hmm. Oof. But I've got space.
Space.
The ideal studio, though.
Yes.
Is to be an at-home studio. Well, two studios, one like a public work studio where I have my team of minions, mm-hmm. future minions. But I want this at home studio. I want a townhome and I want it to be a corner townhome. And the first floor of that townhome will be my studio. And there will be this great, great, like, flat file storage that also is a ledge, and I will have a table on top of that ledge, and nice. I will work on top of that table.
I love that.
And there will be light streaming in.
Sunlight. Mm. Will you have water in front
and
of that?
And lots of X-Acto blades. And there will be running water.
Mm-hmm. Yes, have to have the sink.
Mm-hmm. In a big, big sink.
Yes, and probably at one of those Insta kettles so you can have really good tea.
Of course.
Lots of tea.
Of course.
Oh, and a mini fridge.
A mini fridge for a beer.
Yes. Like this. This is my also ideal. I have a specific place that I would love if I could ever have it. It's my grandma's old house, and there's plants in that space, and it's beautiful sunlight. Mm. But I probably
won't. Of course, you and the plants. Yes. The plants.
They have to be in the room.
They do, surrounding you.
Yeah, they usually become my next drawing, and it's all good. They listen to me.
Someday they'll take over and take over you too.
Don't let Ben hear you.
Slightly sinister.
The plants aren't already taking over the house. They are. Poor little plants. They're ready for spring to happen so they can go back outside.
Yeah, that is time. Definitely a problem.
Yeah, that's the one problem with having lots of plants. But that's okay. It's looking beautiful outside.
Until tomorrow, where it freezes again.
Oh, no, it is, isn't it?
No, I know. My mom went to the garden store this past weekend, and she called me, and she's like, "Hey, Kat, you should come here now, because I bought a bunch of lettuce, and we need to put it in the ground." And I was like, what are you doing?
I'm about to say,
it's gonna freeze again.
One more freeze. We got one more.
One more freeze, and then we can do our lettuce.
Put them in little house plants, and then put them outside.
Yes. So her studio is currently, she has a home studio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Currently covered in lettuce.
Okay, I love that so much. Please take a picture of that too, would you?
I will, yes. I've got many pictures to send you this week.
That's going to be so awesome. I love it. Okay, last question is your studio organized or a creative mess?
Oh. Mine is, I would say it's usually pretty organized. I like to have things in specific places so I don't have to waste time or get paranoid that someone's taken it. Mm-hmm. I get paranoid with my art supplies.
Makes sense.
I think other people feel this way too. If your specific sharpener's not in the right place, you freak out, and it's not in your pencil bin. Yes. Who took your pencil sharpener?
Yes.
Who took your stapler?
Why is it missing?
Where's my stapler?
Even look at the cats and the plants, even if there's nobody around. Somebody moved it, and why did they touch it?
Yeah.
I totally feel that way. Mine's a complete mess right now, but I know where everything is, and that's what matters.
That's what matters. Exactly.
Okay, so
it's a safety feeling of knowing where everything is.
It is, and it's ready for you to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, I've got one last section. It is art news time. This is the time where we talk about some things we've seen recently that knocked our socks off. So I will go ahead
and knock
them off our feet. Made us say something out loud at the museum that made everyone look at you. I did that this week. I was like, oh, I said that out loud. Okay.
What did you see?
So I'll go first. Yeah, I went back to the DMA. Because I really mm-hmm. wanted to spend some time at, because everybody I've interviewed the last week or two has talked about the Abstract Expressionist exhibit there. This slide zone or slip zone or something. I forgot what the name of it is. But it's post-World War II, and it's American and most of the Asian island countries, how the art mm-hmm. influenced across the waters, which is just first of all, it's some of my favorite artists ever are in one space, and then the way that they paired it, I wanted to come back and chew on the information. So, chew on it. I want to read everything and then go back and look at the pictures again.
Mm-hmm.
Book nerd.
Just let it swim around in your brain for a while,
and pick apart how they were, why they thought that way, and let it kind of marinate in with my ideas. So I did that. And then I discovered I'm still really giddy. It's so exciting. This is the thing. I said, what? Out loud. And everyone looked at me. I was reading about when you first enter in, there's two artworks. And, as I pull up the, who it was, cause it was an artist I know. But I was reading about it, and it was talking about, there's a Japanese concept called ma, and it's about spaces in between. Everything I'm trying to just talk about that we don't have a real definition for in the Western language is apparently already a thing in Japan. So my fascination with Japan is already strong, and now it's going to be an obsession. So
I was about to say, I got a notification today from Duolingo to congratulate you on all of your hard work on in Japanese month. You completed a challenge, apparently.
Yeah, and I've got over a year I've done it every day. So I'm starting to recognize some words, and I'm starting to sound them out. I don't think I could ever hold a conversation in the next couple of years, but that's okay. I can try.
You're starting to see the patterns,
yeah,
and the rhythm of the language.
It's interesting. The tips they have on there is actually really helpful. Like, say the words afterwards or write them out. And then listening to the language without trying to figure it out and letting it come into your brain starts picking it apart. And it's been true. Like, if I'm doing housework, I play like some anime or something in undubbed and let it just play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to recognize things. I'll be like, oh, that's a phrase that they say when they're saying goodnight. Or, hey, that's the end of a sentence. That part was pretty thrilling. So that was exciting. I'll post pictures of the artwork I'm talking about. I can't remember the artist's name, which is a bad me moment. But, you know, it happens to the best of us. I will share it on with links on Instagram.
Yay. Links. Quick sidebar, Are you team sub or team dub?
I love to have subtitles on, even if it's dubbed, and it drives my family nuts that there's subtitles, but that's because of my hearing problem. I don't want to miss anything, so if the subtitles are up there, that's awesome. But I really, if it's just me, I want to let the Japanese or whatever language is the original play and read it, because I enjoy hearing the way they originated, the original way they wanted the people to sound like.
Exactly. Yay, team sub!
I understand the idea for dub. We watch a lot of dubbed things, and it's just, you know, you can do like an Instagram away while it's going on, but
exactly.
But anyways, what about
now
you?
That
you've
talked about yours, I've let mine marinate for a moment.
Yay!
And I went to Liliana Bloch gallery a couple of 2 weeks ago.
Did you see?
And I saw the Rachel Wolfson Smith show. And she's into drawing as well. Like, that's her thing. She's a graphite girl.
Work.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I didn't make it. I wanted to see it, but then the freeze here, I was going to go up that weekend, and that was the last weekend it was open. I'm so sad I missed it.
It's so magical, and I became aware of her work when she was a resident at 100 West in Corsicana, Texas, and y'all, you got to check out her work. She's working on these like large sheets of beautiful paper, and she's creating like grass fields.
Yes. But
and everything's just striated, and she uses a lot of eraser, and there's so many layers to her drawings. You just become so immersed, and they're almost, in a way, they're kind of suffocatingly good. Like, they just take your breath away. You're suffocating because you just forget to breathe. I love them.
I'm so glad you got to see it. I'm glad that I kind of am living vicariously through this moment.
How would you describe her work?
There's like a mysterious kind of, I want to say feral. I like this word a lot. I apparently say it a lot today. But there's a feral feeling of being lost in the woods, and there's almost a danger feeling, but also a real soothing, comforting.
Yeah, there's a lot of danger.
Yeah, now. It feels dangerous, but it also feels like you're nicely hidden. You feel safe, but also you don't know what's going to sneak up on you. And then there's little hidden imagery, like there's hands when it should have been leaves.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something going on that's seductive. I don't know. I'm always...
And she'll like write her grocery list and then erase it out.
Yeah.
And then you see like part of it.
So it was the time element, the element of being part of nature, but you're more of a spectator, but you're also part of it. It's very loaded. She's got a lot going on in there.
She does.
I've wanted to see him in person.
Urge you all to look her up. I think on Instagram, she's Wilson Smith.
Yeah, I'll put a link because I talked about her a few episodes ago, actually, because I had seen that the show was up at Liliana Bloch, and I was then intending to go, and I didn't. So it's kind of like coming full circle. You did. I'm glad you got to go.
Yeah.
It's on my bucket list, is getting to see her work in person. I've followed her work for several years, so I was like, oh, it's in Dallas. And I was like, nah, I missed
it.
And I missed it. That's okay. It'll come back around. I want it that bad. It'll come back.
Yeah.
So, I love that you got to see that.
And then her work's also going to be at Women and Their Work in Austin later this year.
Awesome.
So there will be another chance in America because she is based in Amsterdam. So
exactly,
it's kind of extra special now that we get to see her work in person.
It's neat that she's like two Texas. I mean, yay Texas! I know we're awesome, and Texas art is. I sometimes feel like Texas art is overlooked as in the art world, like. Oh, there's New York and there's LA. Oh, Houston. It's like, Austin and Dallas too. Come on. And San Antonio. Y'all are missing out. Like,
in San Antonio.
There's some amazing things going on in this giant state.
Now, we have a great caliber of artists here. And, of course, the prices here in Texas just really help us create a better caliber because we can afford things. And we also have such great access to collections.
Yes. I have to say, the museums have really stepped up their game the last couple of years, too. Like, I mean, they've always been good, but I feel like especially the DMA has had some stellar content.
Yeah. And, like, we're just also so lucky to have, like, the Wachowskis warehouse and the collection. Like, just a little look into their collection and what they have acquired through the years. Oh gosh, we've just got so much good stuff here.
There is.
Hooray.
Should be a list somewhere that has all the good things to go see. Maybe we'll do that someday.
That'd I'm working fun. On it.
But Kat Rigdon's
definitive list of how to survive in Dallas.
Ooh, yeah, it sounds like a good book or a website.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Always updated book. Like, it has to be like updated every 2 weeks when I find anything that I like here.
That's the truth. Oh my gosh. Well, Kat, it's been really lovely having you on the show. We'll have to do this again.
Yes, agreed.
For sure. Definitely. Where can people find more about you?
You can go to my website, which is... You can go to my website, which is www.katrigdon, with a C, C-A-T-R-I-G-D-O-N, .art. Because I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. Or my Instagram, which is Catatonic Disco Tits.
I'll have links to all
of that. I created it like 13 years ago. I can't get rid of it.
No. I think we'd all be sad if it changed. It's perfect. It is exactly what it needs to be.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a delight. And see you in the city soon.
See you soon, Kat. Y'all go and check out her art and like her and follow, please. Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode. It supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Yes, one word. To see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.